Hi, and thank you for visiting Lifestyle Choices Podcast. This is your host, Joyce Wood. How are you? Well, I'm really glad you're here today because today I'm sharing four tips to being healthy. And learning self-care can give you confidence and power. The power to be in control during a life-threatening situation. It all starts with self-love. So what is self-love? Well, self-love is not simply a state of feeling good. It's an action. Self-love is also a choice. It's a way of relating to ourself, being able to effectively communicate without harshly judging or putting ourselves down, punishing ourselves. It's standing up for what we need first, without compromising our needs or values for others. And I know this is easier said than done. This is a type of love that actually contributes to our self-confidence and self-worth, is based on realizing that we have unlimited courage, wisdom, and compassion just as we are. And we want to show it to ourselves. And research has shown that learning how to self-love is associated with less anxiety and depression, better recovery from stress, and overall more optimistic outlook on life, and an interest in healthy behavioral changes. So it's like we're always striving to have that well-being. And benefits of self-love. Self-love is about first accepting who we are and respecting that. Have you listened to the way you talk to yourself lately? Seriously, do you call yourself stupid when you drop something or forget something? What do you say to yourself when you look in the mirror? I know some of the conversations I have are definitely not self-love, in which I need to follow this myself, and I'm going to. But take some time to listen to how you're speaking to yourself. You may be surprised by what you hear. In short, self-love is how we view ourselves and how we treat ourselves. There was an interesting experiment done by a Japanese scientist. His name is Dr. Masaru Emoto. He's a Japanese businessman and author who claimed that human consciousness, our mind, could affect the molecular structure of water. So he did these studies based on freezing this water and the structure, how the water structure changed based on showing love or hate towards this freezing process. And it's really, really interesting. And I've attached the video on the blog, or you can Google it. I'll attach it on the show notes here too. And you can Google it, or you can go to YouTube and check him out, Dr. Masaru Emoto. Anyway, it's fascinating to see the before and after examples of showing love versus hate and how it drastically affected the structure. Oh yeah, it's really amazing. And the reason why I'm mentioning this, it's due to this profound effect of our emotions and our actions or intentions in relating to self-love. So if we're looking at ourselves in the mirror going, oh, I don't like the way I look, let's just cover everything up, you know, opposed to loving ourselves the way we are. Yeah, so think about that. When I was attending school at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, one of my classes was based on this idea, and the class was called Primary Food. And when I attended, I thought the class would focus on eating certain foods, you know, like food groups, the keys to health, Rather, it was focused on how our emotions influence our health overall. Kind of like this water crystals experiment. And another example, say with work. Do we enjoy what we do or hate it? How many people do you know that really don't like what they're doing, but they're basically doing it as a means to an end, which we all sometimes face and have to deal with, you know? But they don't have any deeper value or enjoyment from even just having a job. You know, it's kind of like their attitude about what they have. You know, they're dissatisfied, so they just choose to hate versus having gratitude. You know, it's like that emotion. So it's this emotion of hate has proven to dramatically affect our well-being, similar to this water texture changes by the emotion of hate. So check out the video when you can, okay? And I'm not saying that there isn't positive reasons to eat well or exercise or sleep. I mean, it's really important to do all that, you know, but if you are saying how much you hate what you're doing, like say you want to lose 20 pounds and you go on a diet that you hate, but you want to lose the 20 pounds, think about what the results could possibly be. They may not be so favorable, you know? I mean, maybe you lose the 20 pounds, maybe you don't lose the 20 pounds, but how are you going to feel in the process, you know? Or it could have another effect on your health. Maybe you grind your teeth at night, you know, because of lack of food. But, you know, think about that, you know? So if we think about doing those actions first while hating the choices versus finding something that we could, yeah, I think I can enjoy this. You know, exercise doesn't have to be this painful austerity. It can be fun. It can be really fun. And same way with diet. You can look at it from a diet to a lifestyle choice. I'm choosing a different habit, eating habit, to feeling good, you know? And oftentimes, you'll lose weight just in the process. So this is really important. Consider this again, if you can relate to this in your own current situation. And the next is having determination. Determination is everything because, you know, so we are challenged in the self-love department, okay? The tendency is to go, yeah, God, I hate myself, or, oh, I can never get it right, so I'm just not even going to try, right? I mean, that's a normal feeling that a lot of us can have from time to time based on our situation. So it's important to just keep going back to a determination. Each moment, I'm going to determine, I'm going to choose to love myself, flaws and all, you know? And this flawed body deserves to feel good and eat things that we enjoy without killing ourselves in the process, right? So it's a perspective. So we go back to this determination. And one of my mentors, my spiritual mentor, Daisaku Ikeda, says, quote, "Determination is the key to growth and the source of strength." And, you know, our drive or motivation is directly related to how we feel about ourselves and the choices we make. Yeah. So, if we're not feeling happy with ourselves, or maybe we don't feel we deserve it, or whatever, that motivation, that determination, going back to, may not be as 100%. So determining to love yourself, flaws and all, is really the key to creating a happier, healthier lifestyle, no matter what. And it's followed with skills and tools. And what are health skills? Well, they're specific tools and strategies to maintain, protect, and improve all aspects of our health. Taking full responsibility for ourselves first. And there are multiple ways to achieve good health. It appears today all we hear about is COVID-19 and vaccines and boosters. Well, this is one step to protect one's health and our loved ones. It's not the end all. My opinion, it's a bio-individual approach. And there's lots to that. But basically, bio-individuality is the idea that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to health and nutrition. Instead, we're all unique in our biological makeup and requirements. Each person has their own specific nutritive and health needs, as well as routines, practices, and preferences that work for them. It's just like we're going to go out and buy a pair of shoes, right? You have a shoe in mind, and I have a shoe in mind. And they may not be the exact same type or price, right? But the point is, we're putting the shoes on. We got to wear shoes. So I feel, that's just my opinion, but we each have a right to choose what's best for ourselves. And there's lots to choose from. And it's fun to explore. It's fun to explore different routines, different practices, and preferences, you know? But base it on, do you love yourself? Because if you hate yourself and choose a lifestyle that supports your belief in yourself, I doubt you're going to feel well or achieve ideal health. So respecting and give self-love first is the primary action, in my opinion. But I know a lot of people hold the same view. It's just difficult to uphold when situations of this magnitude we're faced with. I mean, it's a scary time we're living in right now. So it's really ideal to love ourselves and take care of ourselves to the best of our ability. With tools. What are these tools? This is number 4 in creating health. Data, and more data. If there's one thing the modern world can't get enough of, it's information, right? The same is true of health industry, or the same is true in the health industry. Over the last few years, we've seen an explosion of new products to measure everything from our steps to our body fat percentage. While every techie tool may not be necessary for non-Olympians, many of them can be very helpful even for non-athletes. My favorite basic tools to have on hand are, number 1, a thermometer, because we need to check that, and a scale. It's good to know where you're at, especially if you're going to start something new, and a smart fitness watch. And in today, we have so many different kinds of watches out there that do so much more than just texting a message at the flick of our wrist. The latest devices like the fitness watch pack several useful monitoring tools into a tiny little square attached to your wrist. You need a magnifying glass to read half of them. No, not really. They talk to you now too. So our watch may be able to measure your blood pressure, oxygen levels. I think that's fun. It counts our steps. It estimates our calorie burn. It can monitor our heart rate and even perform, I've presented a link. You can check it out for more information if you'd like. Electrocardiogram. That's a 25-cent word, huh? That has something to do with your heart. Again, you can check out more information. But really, your watch may not be able to operate with the same accuracy as dedicated tools that our medical professions have. But the fact that you can measure all of these metrics instantly throughout the day makes a smartwatch an excellent device for keeping up on our self-care health. Because really the basics are what? Eating, exercising, getting good rest, right? And then trusting a health professional. Oh yeah. I mean, of course, it's great to have great health all on our own, but without a skilled practitioner, we could be in the dark in many aspects of our well-being. And I have learned the hard way so many times by simply not taking personal responsibility with my own health needs first, but expecting my doctor to do more or know more. You know, I mean, it's kind of funny how we've been brought up and what we've been taught, you know, and we're learning more and more now that, you know, how to take better care of yourself, rely on certain things yourself, and check in with doctors for specific needs. And it's really important to do that. But it's also really valuable to understand how we feel and communicate it confidently when you visit. And please trust me on this. Just because you go there, you might not like what they say, right? Doesn't mean you have to follow what they say. We don't have to be obedient little patients and don't believe everything they say. There's lots of options out there. There are. And if it doesn't make sense, or you have questions, ask. And if they're not open to discussing your questions, well then, keep looking for a practitioner that is willing and is patient and a good listener. I'm really happy to say my doctor is such a practitioner. I've interviewed her on the podcast and in the blog a couple of times, Dr. Lindsay Harding. She's lovely. She even responds back to my emails that I've questioned her on different vitamin selections. I couldn't believe it. I was kind of testing her to see, you know, how far I could push her. And yeah, she like responded and gave me all kinds of great feedback. It really helped me make an informed decision for myself. To me, this is ideal. You know, it's like working with a trainer, not just someone that tells you what to do and you better be obedient, but, you know, really listens to your inner wisdom, because we have that. They don't know everything. They only know what we can share with them and then the testing that they do, which is really important to get done. I shared in one of the other previous podcasts and blogs how my vitamin D levels started out right in the beginning of the pandemic. They were really low and my cholesterol levels were really high. And if I hadn't have gone to see her and had a test done, I wouldn't have known. And one of the main factors for a weakened immune system is low vitamin D levels. So I can honestly say working together with her, it really helped me see what was going on. And then I took personal responsibility and ate right, took the right vitamins, and really built up my health and then got retested. And, you know, I overcame it within 6 months. I turned around my cholesterol and my vitamin D levels. My cholesterol, I turned around faster. My vitamin D levels have taken longer, and I actually have to stay more on vitamin D than I realized. So I'm happy to do that because I don't want to get sick. I want a strong immune system, you know? So that's what we can do for ourselves. So anyway, I don't want to go on too long about that, but she's wonderful, and I'm going to be interviewing her in a separate podcast next. And we're going to be discussing these topics and more. I'm going to try to get her to spill out some hidden secrets just for you guys. So if you happen to have any questions, please reach out. Leave me a message on the blog or podcast, or email me directly to schwadevi@gmail.com. So thank you so much for being here. And in closing, I have a really sweet quote from Gilda Radner. How many of you remember her? She was on Saturday Night Live and she was so funny. Anyway, she says, quote, "While we have the gift of life, it seems to me the only tragedy is to allow part of us to die, whether it's our spirit, our creativity, or our glorious uniqueness." Yeah, let me read that again. We have this gift of life, and it seems to me the only tragedy is to allow part of us to die, whether it's our spirit, our creativity, or our glorious uniqueness. That's really profound. Please take good care of you and your loved ones, and know there's plenty of choices out there. Don't settle for less than feeling awesome. Until next time, this is your host, Joyce Wendt, signing out. Hi, Dr. Harding.
Hi.
Hey, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time today, and I'm really excited to discuss this topic with you about creating great health, especially now, you know, with so much going on in our community and an overwhelming amount of information being, you know, promoted everywhere on every channel. You can't help but feel a little bit of data overload, you know?
So absolutely.
I mean, it's just sometimes just so overwhelming on what to do and, you know, who to believe and, you know, where to start, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted to bring you on because I really respect what you do professionally, and I'd like to introduce you, even though you've been on the podcast before, new viewers may not have met you or heard from you before. So I'd like to introduce you, Dr. Lindsay Harding, a naturopath here in Washington State, and give you the opportunity to share what you do and what you're primarily focused in right now in your practice.
Yeah, thanks so much, Joyce. So we're a primary care facility. We basically offer general internal medicine services, but we do a lot of focus on preventing and managing chronic diseases. So what that often looks like is how to help you live your best life, even though you have some sort of long-term diagnosis. Or on the flip side of that, it's helping you prevent any sort of long-term diagnosis that will impact your quality of life. We're really focused on quality of life versus just longevity of life. I always say there's no point in living long if you're not enjoying it. So we really stress that quality so everyone can try to meet whatever their individual goals are. So yeah, that's pretty much what we do. We try to do as much of it as we can without the use of pharmaceuticals, unless that's the person's preferred method. So a lot of it is dietary, how we move our body, how we manage stress, behavioral and communication techniques, all the different things that we do from day to day that have a really big cumulative impact on us, but we often forget about.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember my first encounter with a naturopath, and I learned so much about just how my lifestyle and balancing my lifestyle would have such an impact on how I felt every day. And I treasure that experience. It was invaluable. In addition to that, what do you feel are some basic tips that people can do now during this pandemic to just give them more confidence that they can, you know, take better care of their health and prevent, you know, getting sick, exposing a potential virus to their family? You know, there's just so much of that information being shared that a lot of people are really concerned, and, you know, with good reason to be, but I believe that with good self-care practices and keeping ourselves healthy, we can do a lot. And I know you believe that too. What are some things that you would recommend for people to at least do to feel at ease with their routine, their daily routine?
Yeah, well, the first thing is really learning to be mindful. And what I mean by that is listening to your body. So our body sends us signals when something is going wrong or when something is going right. And we feel that whether we feel a sensation of pleasure or we feel a sensation that we're getting sick or maybe there's pain somewhere, that's a signal from your body that something is not right or that you're doing something good. And so to just be aware of that on a day-to-day basis, because that will give you a lot of insight into different areas of your day-to-day activities that need to be improved or that you are actually doing really as well as you need to be doing to live the life that you want to live. So the biggest and probably the hardest place for most people to be mindful is with the food that we eat because there's so much emotional connection tied to our food. Eating mindfully, being aware of what you're eating, and really remembering that food is meant to nourish our body and our soul. It's not really there to just soothe our emotions, even though we use it for that purpose. We often don't eat the right foods that are actually going to help our emotional state. So the most important thing is really what we put in our body, because even though everyone's parents probably said it to you when you were 6 or 7 years old, you are what you eat. They were correct. So you can thank your parents for that. We are what we eat. And so eating fruits and vegetables, eating a good amount of fiber every day, eating the things that provide us with vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and things that help get out all the toxic stuff that we're exposed to every day in the water. Even, some of the toxic things are on our food. Just by eating healthy foods, we can help eliminate that. And by doing so, we actually improve the immune system. And so you're doing two benefits at once. First of all, you're feeding your cells the food that it needs to operate better. So you're reducing your risk of disease, but you're also improving your immune system. So you're providing the nutrients needed for your white blood cells to learn how to make antibodies if you do become exposed to anything, or you're helping your immune system fight off something better, even if you've been previously exposed to it. Getting a vaccine is not a it's not a curative thing. It's not a 100%. It is really about prepping your immune system. And there are a lot of ways we can help that work better, and that is by eating healthy.
I agree. With the Halloween being just here and so much sugar, it's like, oh my gosh, just that one substance can really wreak havoc. I know in my system. And I just shudder to think of all the kids that are out there, looking so cute in their little outfits and getting big stuff, And there just needs to be so much more information out there about, okay, so this is bad, but what's the other alternative? It's the sweet. One thing I love about Ayurvedic is that, it talks about all the different points of sweet, sour, pungent,
Yeah.
So sweet. What can you say about, like, if a person really has a sugar craving and they know they do, but what are some of the other options? Like, choose this if you're having a sugar craving. Or I heard once that if you're having sugar cravings, that could mean that you need more protein. Do you agree with that thought? Or what do you think about that?
Certainly. So at its core, sugar feeds our cells and especially our brain. So our brain only eats sugar. And then our cells, what give us energy, they use sugar as the first source of energy. So if we're not getting enough protein, if we're not eating enough fiber to keep our blood sugar levels balanced and we're creating highs and lows, our body is constantly going to be craving sugar because it only knows how to get its energy source from sugar instead of how to get it from protein and fat. So we really need a balance of all the macronutrients, which are carbohydrates, protein, and fat. And I always throw fiber in there too, because it is still something we eat in a higher quantity.
Yeah.
It technically is a carbohydrate, but most people don't think of fiber when they think of carbohydrates.
True.
So it's really about eating a balanced diet if you're having sugar cravings, because sugar is addictive and it will create a downward spiral. So
Oh,
I
I know.
did hear a doctor once say that the number one tip that he recommended for everyone was that at the start of every meal, your first bite should be protein or fat. It should absolutely not be a carbohydrate, because if your first bite is a carbohydrate, you are not going to feel satisfied from your meal because you have instantly spiked your blood sugar. And what you
Interesting.
eat afterwards will not actually curve that spike as much. I don't know how true that is, but I can definitely say clinically, every single person I've seen that says that they start their day off with a sugary breakfast or a carbohydrate-filled breakfast, all they do all day is crave sugar. So
Yeah.
there's definitely something to that.
I agree. And my system, I don't crave sugar, but as much as I crave salt. And I'm always concerned if I'm taking in so much salt. And now, since they've talked about how you can get, there's microplastics even in sea salt, that just, oh my gosh, it's like, oh no, what do we do for the salt? I do all the, organic Himalayan salts, but I mean, there's concern there, right? Not getting, you have to like really keep it balanced even in that area, even if you're eating the pure stuff, right?
Yes, yeah, there's hidden microplastics in a lot of things, unfortunately. But again, eating healthy is still better than not eating healthy, assuming that, well, I'm just going to ingest toxins anyway if I eat healthy. That's not true. You can counteract a lot of those negative things, even in health foods, by still eating healthy.
Yeah.
Non-organic fruit and vegetables is still 1,000 times better than no fruit or vegetables.
Absolutely. And I've been reading some about herbs, and certain herbs can really be beneficial in cleansing out toxins like cilantro and bitters, certain herbs of that nature. And I'm fascinated with that. In fact, this summer I grew a developed a little herbal garden on my deck. And just,
Awesome.
yeah, it was so fun. I mean, just from the scent alone, and seeing all the various different birds and bees coming around, it's really fun. And it's still living, actually. My deck's doing really good still. But
Oh,
I was,
wow.
yeah, really good. Well, it's kind of shielded and I get eastern exposure. So a lot of my perennials and my evergreen herbs are doing good. Like my
Nice.
basil died. I mean, basil, but my basil just started to die just 2 weeks ago. So that's been doing really good. My cilantro didn't last long at all, but I love cilantro. What do you know about how does cilantro hold such a big punch of nutrients? Like it does so many things. I mean, a lot of people see it as just a garnish on the plate, but yeah, that little plant can really do some amazing wonders for your system.
Yeah, all the herbs that are bitter and astringent are really powerful. And part of the reason they're so powerful is that we don't eat bitter and astringent foods very often anymore. And what they do is they help the gallbladder excrete bile, and they help the digestive system prep all of the digestive enzymes so that when you actually eat your food, you digest and absorb the nutrients much better. So, if you're eating those spices and those herbs more frequently, you're probably getting more health benefits out of your food or even other supplements that you take because you're likely absorbing them better.
So an example would be instead of reaching for when your food tastes plain, instead of reaching for that salt or some other product that may not be organic pure formula, but it just adds flavor. I know that there's some Asian sauces that are so tasty. I love all the hot, spicy stuff. But I've been looking at a lot of the labels, and there's a lot of red dyes in this stuff, and other ingredients in there that isn't just pepper based. And so instead of reaching for something easy, you could learn about some of these benefits from herbs and start playing around with your food with using herbs, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. It's a lot of fun too. It's a lot of fun. And
Yeah.
even if you don't have an active garden, I mean, you can get herbs now at probably any grocery store has them, and more grocery stores are having the organic ones. And yeah, I mean, it's just great to try all the different ones. I couldn't believe how expensive saffron herb is. I
It
was
is
like,
the most expensive herb worldwide
yeah,
because
and
it
it was
has to be hand-picked.
ah.
Yeah.
Well, it's still in its cute little octagon bottle. I got it at this one store. It was so cute. And it's like, I don't even want to use it because, oh my God, this little thing was like $11.
I'm just thinking they had to put it in a pretty glass bottle to make you feel less guilty about the cost.
Oh, yeah, for sure, but yeah, this time of year, I love spicy foods. I just crave like the Indian spices. In fact, I just went up to this Indian store up in Mill Creek, and oh my gosh, I had to get in and out quick because I could see my bills going sky high if I stayed longer in there, because they
Yeah.
had everything, and they also offer it organic now at that store.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I really happy. But anyway, it's fun. It's fun to, try different cultural foods this time of year, because of that flavor, and it's obvious to me that there's a lot of Americans that are just craving it. And I really believe that what we're craving oftentimes is what we need. But then it can be kind of misleading because now tell me if I'm wrong, but I also heard that certain things that you're craving may be a symptom of something underlying that isn't so good. And you have to be really, thoughtful about that. Like you said, mindful about that, and maybe consider that a symptom of something, right?
Absolutely. I think when it comes to you're craving something, so maybe there's something underlying. I see a lot of people kind of talk those cravings up to being some sort of medical condition or nutritional deficiency when the reality is it's not. You're just either addicted to sugar or dairy
Okay.
or you just have a strong urge for something. I think the most common one I hear about is, oh, well, if you keep craving chocolate, you're deficient in magnesium.
Right. I
The
was just going to
reality
ask you.
is, most people are deficient in magnesium. It's not a very prevalent mineral that we get from our food anymore because it used to be rich in the soil and our soil is pretty much all depleted. But the reality is, most people that are craving chocolate, they aren't reaching for 90% cacao that's going to be rich in magnesium. They're going for a Hershey's chocolate bar, which is milk chocolate. You're not reaching for these high percentages that are actually going to provide higher amounts of magnesium,
Yeah.
which to me, I just see as this is a sugar addiction. So.
Exactly. Now, with cacao, you mentioned cacao. I know a lot of folks, I've he overheard different comments about, like, what is that? That's weird. It tastes weird. But address cacao because cacao is amazing what it can do.
Yeah, cacao is I mean it's the original source of chocolate. So it's a bean similar to coffee, and cacao is antioxidant. So it's a very powerful antioxidant, and it's also anti-inflammatory. So it can be used to help decrease conditions that promote inflammation in the body. So there's a lot of really good health benefits associated with cacao. It's just a matter of eating cacao instead of chocolate, which
Gotcha.
is made with a lot of buttercream and added sugar. So
Yeah.
that's the main difference between them.
That's true, but and I have noticed that they're starting to use other ingredients like oh, there is this lily. I think it was a lily or a, I know agave they use. And then there's some other sugar replacing herbal formulas that they're adding to sweets now that are not so spiking of your glycemic. I can't remember the name right at the top of my head. I'm not really into looking for those kinds of alternatives because I'm not a big sugar craver, but I know that they're out there and it depends on where you shop. Like if you shop at stores like PCC or Sprouts or even grocery outlet I was in the other day, they're starting to have organic food, canned food and organic fresh produce and really affordable prices. I was really surprised by that. I haven't checked out their wine selection to see if they have what they promote there, but a lot of other canned goods and fresh products. Yeah, they're carrying a lot of organic at half the price, even at Safeway. So yes, I was like shocked at the price difference. Yeah. Shocked at the price difference. So check it out, grocery outlet. And if you ever shop at Safeway or some of the other local major stores, you'll see there it's good 20% less than at these traditional larger stores. I don't know how they can afford to do that, but I'm glad they're doing it. Well, there's another thing I wanted to ask you, and I know a lot of folks have brought it up to me at various different situations about, well, they've asked me, well, do you do your own testing or where do you go to get your testing? And I have seen advertisements online a lot with a lot of self-testing along with getting your genetic testing done. So like 23andMe and Ancestry.com, all those places. But they're now starting to offer tests for determining your vitamin level deficiencies and things. And I find that really curious. I'm curious about it and I'm intrigued because it would be fun to go in and get a test to see specifically, like you're going and taking your car in to check your oil, and you can hook your body up to a computer or cook your car up to a computer and it can assess everything now, right? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could go in and have your doctor kind of like connect you up and determine, oh yeah, you need the whole, this whole profile, you're low in this whole profile, or we need to do something specific in this one area. But in regard to, and I know that's coming. I've heard other doctors talk about how in the future, we'll just need like a drop of your blood and we'll be able to determine, specific dietary plan just for your genetic makeup. And I look so forward to that day. I just think that's so exciting. But in the current day, we've got now these options, like, oh, rather than going to the doctor, just buy these tests online. And from a lay point of view, I consider myself a lay person, even though I'm trained in certain things in nutrition. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing a test on myself. Now, somebody with some medical background or clinical background, they might feel okay about it. But I wanted you to address what you think about some of these outlets that are selling these testing, and not specifically the outlet itself, but just what your idea is about doing self-testing from a source like that in general.
So I think there's really two different standpoints that I have on this. So one is I think it's really great that these companies have made more people aware of the different things that could be going on in their body that a lot of allopathically trained physicians don't really ever think about. So I think it's really empowering for people, and I really like that. The downside is that a lot of it, I feel, is, it's a marketing campaign. It's a business. The reality is a lot of these companies, they're there to make money. So there are a lot of companies out there that are not reliable. Their tests are not accurate. They're kind of all over the place when it comes to result consistency. There are a group of physicians that do actually pay for their own tests with certain companies, and then they send in two copies of their test with, and they make up different names and they see if the results come back the same. Even though
Oh,
it's the same
interesting.
person, the blood was drawn on the same day, or there's
Well,
this finger prick on the same day, and they get drastically different results.
interesting.
So the question is then, what companies are reliable? And then the other concern is, if you're spending a fair amount of money, most of these tests cost at least a few $100. Are you actually testing what you need to be testing based on whatever it is you're concerned about? So oftentimes, vitamins and minerals really are intriguing for a lot of people. Everyone wants to know, do I have enough of this? Do I have enough of that for vitamins and minerals? The same goes for hormones. But you need to have, or I'll rephrase that, professionally, in my opinion, the best thing to do is to actually talk to a trained professional and have someone from the outside looking at your case to talk to figure out, well, what kind of testing is actually going to provide us with the answers we need? Because there are some people that can go down, this rabbit hole of tests because it's just one thing after another and nothing is getting you an answer. And when you're looking at spending hundreds of dollars on each test, it adds up very quickly. Then you might find out what you need to do, but you don't have the money to pay for the treatment.
Exactly.
So, having an outside party is really helpful. A lot of us can't really look at our own health and accurately determine what's going on. Even medical professionals, myself included in that, I know a lot of people where one thing happens and we start to spiral because we go down this list of everything it could possibly be when the reality is it's the most simple explanation possible. And a lot of people do that, right? You go online, you Google your symptoms, and then what tests do you need to look up? And the reality is, every website is going to give different answers. And once you've looked at everything, you're looking at almost every test. So, what do you actually spend your money on? Yeah. So,
And you address, excuse me, but I wanted to
yeah.
back up a tiny bit. You mentioned allopathic. Can you explain what you mean? Like, a lot of folks still, think that, well, I'm going to my doctor, my insurance pays for my doctor, and my doctor, well, why wouldn't my doctor check my vitamin D levels, right? Or why
Yeah.
wouldn't my doctor talk to me about nutritional deficiencies? Like, explain a little bit. It's not putting the other practitioners down. It's just different specialties, right?
Yeah, so it's really about how the person is trained.
Thank you.
So every physician has slightly different training. They could have gone to the same school, but depending on where they do their residency and even just what they see throughout their practice is going to change how they practice medicine. So no two people are going to be exactly alike. But allopathic is talking about the Western conventional system where, it's a healthcare professional that basically is diagnosing you based on your symptoms, and then they treat using pharmaceuticals, radiation, and things like surgery. There is not an emphasis on what's now being called functional medicine, which is where we're working to return the body to normal function. And they're not using more natural substances. So things like herbs and nutrition that are going to just act a different way in the body.
Exactly. And it's like, we all have to start with the basics in life, from the early days of learning how to walk. And returning back to these basics of health are so important in everything. The basics of life is so important. Breathing, drinking water, eating real food, valuing our life and life-sustaining,
Yeah.
life-sustaining substances. Yeah.
Yeah, but we often forget, because we're healthy. You and me are we're healthy. When you're in a different state than someone, we forget that there are people that need, something's going on with them. They need surgery right away. They need those pharmaceuticals. Every branch of medicine has a purpose and has good outcomes for different people. It's just finding what is the right solution for you. And so starting with the basics, I would agree with you, is the most important for just about everyone. But there are people where those basics aren't going to do anything to help them at the point that they're at right now. And so
I
they really
know.
need that allopathic medicine.
I agree. No, I agree. And I just really look for the future in terms of seeing more information and education starting like in grade school, And I know that there's certain educational programs now that are mindful training. In fact, my neighbor is a mindful training teacher, and she
Oh, that's
from
cool.
It's really a cool system of education. Like she addresses the kids, like, how do you feel today? Did you like what you put
Yeah.
on today? And they have a whole discussion about it. And she promotes this concept of mindfulness, and I love that. I know growing up as a kid, I never heard that. It was you join the clean plate club and eat it. And that's when I learned clever techniques of putting everything in a napkin and going into the bathroom. But,
Yeah.
but anyway, I think everything is evolving. I'm so glad that there's naturopathic physicians in abundance now, more so, way more so than when I was growing up. And it's great because I look at a physician as someone that really provides education in living well. And I think even Hippocrates mentioned that the doctor of the future would educate people. Didn't he have some
Yes.
kind of quote like that?
Yes.
And I love that. I really love that. And we all are really our own self-care educator from a point of view, right? We are living in ourselves. We have to know what we are feeling. We need to get in touch with it, with that mindfulness that you're talking about. And we're all so different. We're all unique. And finding someone that you can really talk to. And I mentioned on the blog how much I really appreciate meeting you because you were so willing to listen to so many questions I had and still do. And patiently answering them and being very objective. And you don't always find that. And so, I encourage people on the blog to, if you're not feeling listened to, don't just be an obedient patient. We don't have to be an obedient patient. If we don't feel right about something, we should ask the doctor. And if we're not getting the right clarification, then we need to keep pursuing it until we can feel satisfied in what's concerning us as individuals and having that respect. So I really appreciate you and what you do. And I hope more people, if people are listening to this podcast, you can reach Dr. Harding. She does telemedicine. She's wonderful. And she's not paying me to say this either.
Well, thank you,
So,
Joyce. I appreciate it.
yes, I really appreciate your time today. And I guess we're now at 32 minutes, and I need to let you go because I know people are probably waiting for you to take care of them. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thank you so much. You as well. And thank you to everyone for listening.
Yvette, see you soon.
Sounds good. Bye, Joyce.
Bye-bye.